Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host, and today I'm thrilled and honored to welcome special guest Christian Lachica. Christian is 20 years old and has the distinction today of becoming the youngest person to share on the Catalyst Stories podcast, and hopefully the first of many young people to share their testimonies on the podcast. Christian is an electrician for Mulder Electric. He enjoys surfing, fishing, hunting, mountain biking, and playing the guitar. And later on in the podcast, we'll talk more about his interest in guitar playing and how that's connected to one of his testimonies. Christian has the distinction of being here at Catalyst since birth, or pretty close to that, just maybe a few months before Catalyst started. And with that, Christian, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thank you for having me.
First off, I want to know if you still enjoy skateboarding, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the podcast, but I recall when I asked you that question, you kind of laughed a little bit, and we'll reveal why later on.
Yeah, it sits in my truck as now more of a transportation way. I don't really do it at parks or anything like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I won't give too much of it away, but were you... You know, I'm guessing you were trying to do a 720 maybe when you had your accident, or
I don't even know what it was called. I was new to it and just decided to send it and hurt my ankle pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all we'll say for right now. But we're glad that you're okay. How does it feel being the youngest person so far to share testimonies here on Catalyst Stories?
I think it feels great. Like I feel.
Yeah.
I feel very encouraged. Thank you, John. Especially when you asked me. And and I guess just I love hearing like the stories of Catalyst especially, but I like being one of the first to open the door to the youth of Catalyst because I know they have such amazing testimonies.
Yeah, nice. Super That's exciting. So awesome. And, you know, that's so appropriate because, again, not to give too much of our time away, you've been... prophesized over as a generational leader, and I think, gosh, you know, a generational leader leads by example, and so you're setting the pace and setting the example here, and so when I think about you, Christian, the word leadership comes to mind because leaders lead by example, and you have led the way by boldly sharing your faith and declaring your testimonies of what God has done in your life. And so I'm so excited to have you here today. And we had talked about this, the reflections of your life and your journey. And as I think about them, a story and profound lesson in the Bible come to mind, and that's 1 Samuel 16, when the Lord sent the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse to look for Israel's next king, basically. And when Samuel saw Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, Samuel said, "Surely this is the guy, you know, the Lord's anointed one, the next king of Israel." But in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature." And then it goes on to say, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." And of course, we know that the youngest son, David, eventually became the king of Israel. So just want to affirm in you, Christian, that God sees your heart and your desire to be someone after God's own heart like David.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and so speaking of a man after God's heart, you once had a conversation with your good friend Garrett Ka'ai, and both of you had asked yourselves the questions and were curious to know what it means to be a man of God. So I want to know, first of all, what even led you to have that question? Do you remember?
I think the story might be different for both of us.
Yeah.
But as for me, this was maybe like 8 years ago, eight-ish years ago.
Wow.
My dad took me and my brother to the movie theaters, and It was a showing from, what's his name? Tony Evans. Tony
oh,
Evans.
Yeah,
it was Tony,
yeah, yeah.
It was a Kingdom, yeah. Kingdom Man documentary.
Ah, okay.
Documentary movie. I don't know how to put it, but yeah, he just explained what it is to be a Kingdom Man. And since then, like, my dad has done before that and still does, just engrave that into us as best as he can. Wow. Sometimes we don't, like, receive it right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all started since watching that documentary, where I was just started my curiosity into questioning, okay, how can I be a Kingdom Man?
Wow.
Even at the age of like 10.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, gosh, 8 years ago, that was about 12 years old.
Yeah, when something
you,
like that.
when you saw that documentary. So what has God revealed to you on what it means to be a man of God?
I guess, like you said, just lead by an example.
Yeah.
As a man, you know, being the leader of a household, being the leader of a church, being the leader of of kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I remember one time you told me, you said, actions speak louder than words,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, leading through what you do and not what you say, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
and I thought about when you had shared that with me, I thought of James 2:26 in the NIV. It says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So you really show your words through your example. Okay, so I've had the privilege of hearing your testimonies, and I really appreciate your sharing on Sunday mornings and on Damon's podcast. Back in June of 2024, we had a chance to share, for the first time, a lot of us shared in front of the congregation. Pastor Barry called a few of us on stage to share a testimony from his Hearing from God class, mm-hmm. and which he calls the boot camp. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a boot camp. We didn't have homework.
Yeah, right. And so I was standing right next to you when you shared an experience that you had in Northern California attending your graduation. And so I wondered if you can talk about that.
Yeah. So the story goes, I went up to Northern California for a trade school. And it was a 6-month like program, but they did like a whole graduation ceremony because we got a bunch of certificates for it and, like certifications. And I had to stay in like a room up there because I didn't have a house. I didn't have anywhere to stay. So we had this renting company, I guess.
Okay.
It was a house with maybe like 4 other guys, and we all got to like share. We all went to the school.
Okay.
And we all got to go through it and help each other out, which was really cool. Just meeting those guys, and
yeah,
one of them kind of just struck like my spiritual chord, where I could tell that there was not something off with him, but there was just something that he needed that I could feel.
Okay.
Later to find out that he was a Satanist when he found out that I was going to church, trying to find a church out there.
Yeah. What was your initial thought or reaction when you found out that he was a Satanist?
I asked him, "Did you want to come to church with me?" Because he said, like, wow. It was like, he's like, "You know I'm a Satanist, right?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to church now. Do you want to come?"
And what did he say?
He was like, "Oh no, dude, I'll engulf in flames." And I was like, "No, you won't, dude. Come on."
Oh my goodness, that is not probably an uncommon reaction, though, huh? For a lot of people to think that, you know, that they'll be condemned, and which is maybe what keeps people away from church sometimes, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
And the judgment that feel, huh?
Yeah, and I was pretty comfortable like asking him because this was maybe like a couple months in where he kind of found out where I was going every Sunday.
Okay. Yeah.
But like I grew a relationship with him. Just being able to show him like the love of Jesus, that the love that Jesus showed me, like just forgiveness. Found out that his dad passed away when he was young, so he didn't have that. His mom kicked butt to raise him right.
Yeah.
But he did end up on the path towards Satanism. And then I guess to the point where he asked me that, will I engulf in flames if I go to church? And I said, my reaction was like, no, I'm pretty sure these people would. I was like, no, dude, like you'll be okay.
Yeah.
If anything, these people will love you even more.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could have said to yourself at that point, I'm not going to talk with this guy anymore, you know, so I'm just wondering, you know, for you, what caused you to continue to be his friend?
That's a good question. I don't know. It was just a natural feeling where, during that time of school, I was struggling myself trying to hear from the Lord. And, I guess in that I found, the Lord was working through me without me even kind of knowing.
Yeah. Well, you know, already I'm hearing from what you shared, Christian, that, you know, you knew his father had passed away, mm-hmm. and here's a guy who you could tell that, you know, something was missing in his life. And so I just think that's so awesome that you know, that you as a person and you, you know, we're pretty much reaching out like Jesus, you know, reached out. I mean, I think of, you know, the fact that Jesus was in the world. He was not of the world, but he was in the world. And, you know, I thought of when you shared your story, I thought of John 4, because Jesus reached out to a Samaritan woman at a well who was also lost. And it seems like to me, the farther the person is away from God, the more Jesus tries to reach out to them. And so mm-hmm. I just see you, you know, being like Jesus. And so you guys are, I think you said the graduation was in a church, huh?
Yeah.
And I wondered if you can talk about that, because, you know, you were kind of, you were sitting together and mm-hmm. you guys were chatting, weren't you?
Yeah. So I guess like prior to that graduation, throughout that whole thing, we did share, like, I guess like I got fairly close to this man. Like I had a great relationship with him, to the point where, we had conversation about God, like more theological stuff. And I even ended up sharing like Bible verses, to the point where he was like, oh wait, that sounds good.
Wow.
But to the church part, the graduation was in a church and we did a rehearsal kind of thing day before. And we're kind of waiting for like space to open up and like to continue. So they had us kind of sit around.
Yeah.
And we ended up talking more about like just theology and, just questioning just the love of the Father, mm-hmm. what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I haven't really looked into it too much besides what I learned from church, from reading the Bible itself, and from what I heard from the Lord my whole life.
Yeah.
And
it sounds like while you guys are having this conversation that he's open, or at least he's mm-hmm. listening to what you have to say, huh?
Yeah, as I said, like I knew that he was in search of something.
Yeah.
And I could feel just him stirring, his mind stirring, his spirit stirring.
Wow.
Because I wasn't speaking in that moment. It was the Lord speaking through me.
Yeah.
And that's something that I found relieving, because like this guy, he's just the nicest person ever. He's to the point where he tried to explain to me like, oh, like in the Satanist Bible, it says, you know, like love everybody, love everything they do. And then I was like, okay, what about this? What about this? And then we just had just intellectual conversation because of the way that he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not too much of an intellectual person. That's how I knew the Lord was speaking through me. But yeah, it's just, and he just, I can tell he was stirring because he was asking questions. He was wanting to learn more.
Seeking, huh?
Yeah, seeking.
Yeah.
And I did use examples that I saw through him through this time that I knew him. He was a heavy drinker, trying to fill that void with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. being able to explain, like, because he asked me what does it mean by drunkenness? I was like, okay, like drunkenness could be this. It could also be like this as well. So like, let's say like not just alcohol, it could be like, oh, being lazy in a sense where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, mm-hmm. where Netflix asks you, are you still watching? And you can push this here, just drunk and watching Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different type of addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think at the end of the day, you felt like some seeds were planted, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. To the point where he lives in Huntington Beach area. So I got to
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I still got to like connect with him and reach out to him a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do worry sometimes because it has been a while since he's reached back to me as I've been trying to reach out to him, but
yeah.
I just keep him in my prayer. I know that the Lord is reaching for him because of what he showed me that day at graduation.
Yeah, wow, that's so awesome, Christian. So you come back from the graduation, and I think it was very shortly after we were taking Pastor Barry's Hearing from God class, and you had we all had to do that homework assignment where we asked God, okay, God, you know, how do you see me? And so when you asked that God, that question of God, how do you see me, God? What did you hear?
It was a little hard for me to like hear, I guess, in that sense, because it was a question that I've been asking for a long time, and the Lord was just like, okay, be patient, I'm going to answer this. Like, even though it's just such a simple, like, I see you like this, but I think he wanted to be more precise with it. And going to the skateboarding, I guess, where I had hurt my ankle that Sunday, that following Sunday, I met one of the speakers. I forget his name. He was a guest speaker, and he brought people along with him.
He
came up to me and he was like, we were just talking, have a conversation. And like one of the first things he says to me, he was like, hey man, can I pray for you? And he didn't pray over my ankle. He prayed over saying, I see him as a generational leader.
Wow.
And that like really spoke to me, where it was like, okay, Lord, like I see what you're doing. And same day, he had some of his kids and some college kids, kind of like prophesying things. And one of them said to me, like, I see you as a leader or as someone holding a lantern in the darkness. And then that's when it just all came to me, and where it was just like, all right, Lord, like I know for a fact now. And that's how you see me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really confirming, huh? Because what you had shared that one Sunday morning, and I wanted to just read your quote, what you had shared with all of us Sunday morning, was God saying to you, I see you as a leader, one who fills my kingdom. Even if you don't see it, you plant the seeds in my lost children that make it back to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that is just amazing. It was so powerful, because I thought of, you're fulfilling what Jesus would do. And in Matthew 18, Jesus tells us that the Heavenly Father would leave the 99 sheep and go after, go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying. And so I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, you're doing what Jesus tells us, what God tells us to do. What was the feeling you got when you heard those words directly from your Heavenly Father about being a leader who directs the lost back to him?
I think it was super encouraging. And the biggest part of that, I think, that I felt and still do feel is like, that's not only for those lost sheep, but it's also for the congregation and just the church itself, because it's such a, how would I put this? I think it's just an example, like, to say, where it's like, it's not me, it's for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. It's not me that's doing it, it's God that's doing it through me. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite part to share about with everything. 'Cause it's just such like, it's something that I love hearing when people share, like, it's like, oh, I get, like, yes, like, yes, it, like, you, like, awesome.
yeah. Oh, that's neat. That is so good. And you know, so you were sharing about your skateboarding accident, and I don't mean to have you relive it, but I will tell you, I will ask you if you can relive that and tell us what happened again.
It was my friend's birthday, and like birthday party, and then like towards the end, like we were like, hey, let's go to skate park. And I was fairly new, like that, like 2 weeks in that I started like kind of skating.
Okay.
And we're at this skate park. It's like dark, so there's nothing. You can't see anything. There's no lights. And I decide to go on this like bowl, and I just sent it on the top of the rail and trying to do like a grind, but then like my foot got stuck because I tried to stop and slow down. And ankle just kind of like snapped out of place or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I went to the doctors and put me in a boot, just to, you know, straighten it out. And I couldn't walk on it. I had a whole week where I couldn't walk.
Yeah, yeah. You had a walking boot on there, in fact,
yeah,
right?
Crutches and everything.
Yeah. So you're in the church service when you went to that to church that one Sunday, and the speaker, I think you said he talked about physical healing. Is that mm-hmm. is that correct? Okay. And so he, it was either he or someone else that prayed over your injury, and I wondered if you can talk about that experience.
Yeah, that Sunday, there was two other people that came with crutches and boots on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was me, Cameron, and Jacob Bello. He had wow. his ACL thing. But
okay, but you guys weren't all at the skateboard park nope. at the same time. Okay.
Different. It was all a Sunday, just all Sundays. Everyone
that's,
came.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, during that same prayer where he was praying over, like, being a generational leader, he did end up praying, like, Lord, I just heal him. And in Jesus' name, I heal his ankle. And I was like, oh, like that's great. Like, I'm going to keep that in mind. Like, I was like, the Lord's going to heal me. Like, I know the Lord's going to heal me. Like,
yeah.
And in the same way, what's going on in my head is like, you know, the faith of the woman that was bleeding, you know, just touching his robe, or just having that much faith.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Lord's going to heal me. I'm not saying that it's going to work like that every single time, but I knew that my faith was growing through him just praying over that.
Wow. Okay.
And during that, he was saying, like, oh, like, the Lord has worked through me where I could feel, the Lord could do physical healing through me. And he shared stories about it. And while he was sharing, I was, like, moving around my ankle and joking around. And then I was like, oh, it's not really hurting too much. And then my dad, at the same time, he was like, oh, he did physical healing. Like, you should ask him for prayer. He, like, bumped me. He was like, yeah, you should ask for prayer. Because I had my boot on. He didn't know that my dad didn't know that I was that he prayed for me already. And I was like, I whispered back. I was like, I think it's healed.
Wow.
And yeah.
At that point, did you try and move it? Did you try to stand up? Or
I was just kind of, he was still, still kind of preaching. And
yeah.
And I was just kind of like moving it side to side in places where I was like, oh, I couldn't move it there before. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then in that moment, I was like, just like, oh, like, Lord, you are so good. And like, because I was like, Lord, like, I want you to, like, can you please heal me 100%? I want to jump and run and praise for you. And like, I want you to heal me where I can run, jump and praise for you and just worship you.
Yeah.
And then that's when he came off. Like, as soon as I finished that prayer, he came off and worship team started. And then like, I stood up and like, I did a couple steps and it didn't hurt at all.
Wow.
Zero pain. And I'm talking like before that whole week, I couldn't walk at all. Like, I had to assist, like, assisted walking.
Wow, yeah.
And
it hurt, like, when you put weight on it, would it hurt?
Any kind of weight, yeah.
Wow.
And I stood up on it, one leg, like, stood up on it on one leg, and then did some stomps.
Yeah. Nothing. No pain at all.
No pain at all.
Praise God.
Yeah,
wow.
And then I walked up, and I told Pastor Ross about it, and he was like, oh, that's crazy. That's great. He's like, you know, the way he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Super excited, and then I went to go tell, oh, is his name, I think his name was Walter. Was it Walter?
Oh, yeah.
The speaker.
Yeah.
And he was like, went up and tell him, and he was like, praise God. And then he prayed for me again, and then, and I was going to go walk back to my seat to, like, you know, just to worship more and more. But then Ross was like, I'm going to call you up. So then he called me up, and I got to share, like, how I was healed.
You shared in front of the congregation.
Yeah, like, that how moment.
Wow.
Yeah, after the song. And then I didn't expect it, but Pastor Ross was like, Christian will be in the front praying for anybody who needs healing. He didn't tell me he was going to do that, but I was like, all right.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then,
did anyone go up when,
yeah.
There was
a pretty, pretty long line to where Pastor Ross needed to start praying, and then a bunch of other people started having to pray.
Oh, man.
They kind of dispersed. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then
and so as you're praying for people that came up, did you feel that you were praying for them with the same faith that you had when Walter was praying for you?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so I think one of the first ones was Cameron. He came up.
Okay.
He had a boot on as well. He brought an extra shoe. He was like, I wonder what's going to happen today. So he brought an extra shoe.
Yeah.
So then we prayed over that and healed perfectly fine. He put a shoe on and he prayed with us too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then we just kept praying for more people coming up. And then Uncle Jesse came up, and I think with his condition, he was like kind of hurting a little bit, like a lot more, like his legs were hurting and his back was hurting, like, really bad, where he was slouched over more. And he asked for prayer for his anxiety and that, like, that physical healing.
Yeah.
So me and Pastor Ross, we prayed over him, and I just felt like just the Holy Spirit just stirring so much when we were praying over him, to the point where people noticed that he was standing up taller and walking a little better, just walking.
Wow.
And he was just, it was just incredible. And we just praised the Lord so much after that. Like, it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
And like, I think, I was told that people were like looking like he's walking better. He's like, and this, I think, Sakura was like, he's taller. He's stood up straight. So it was just awesome.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like almost like a life-changing day for you. I mean, something did, how would you describe what that day did for your faith or how it changed you?
I think since then it was just nothing but hearing the Lord from that moment. When I pray and call upon his name, it's like my ears open to what he has to say about anything and about what I have to say towards other things. Then, and I could feel the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaking through me when I talked to like, one of my Muslim friends. She would ask me questions, become like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. And just like, we'd have like these conversations where I can feel like the Holy Spirit stirring her as well, the same way I felt with my friend, my Satanist friend. And
wow.
And I would just have conversations with like my close friends, like neighbors, and I could feel the same way. Like they, like some, like my friends, they'd ask me something, and in kind of like a joking, but like, well, what do you think about this kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, like we start talking more, and they're just like sitting around, just like listening to me talk. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's so awesome. So you get the word from the speaker about you being a generational leader. That wasn't the first time you got that, because from an early age, you had an activity with Celebration Station, which is when you were in Celebration Station, I think, as a young child. And I wonder if you can share about what happened during that activity that you had.
Okay, from what I remember.
It was
like little index cards with like characteristics and identities face down, and then we go find one, we pick one up, and we'd go find someone that embodies that. And I think it was Micah Benuya. He gave me the card leader. And I think Damon saw that saw that, and he was like, he wanted to speak into me with that. Yeah. And he's like, throughout my life, he's been kind of like showing me and mentoring me in other ways.
Yeah. Because for a little while you worked at Ohava,
yes.
or with Damon at Ohava, mm-hmm. and you had mentioned Damon's mentorship to you. And so I wanted to ask you what you've learned from Damon or through your time at Ohava about what it's like to be a leader.
We started off with, he asked me, what's a lie that you believe? That's what he started off with. Mm. And then from there on, he prayed over that, and we just kind of broke that lie. And from then on, it kind of grew into, what kind of leader are you? To the conclusion of the generational leader.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of how we worked at it and worked on it. I'm still doing things where it's like trying to learn more and like dive deeper into that. Mm-hmm. I'm just struggling with a little bit like schedule stuff and time, but
you're a busy guy.
Yeah. I just really, really appreciate, Damon and Brett for being that. For me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I can I definitely see it playing out with just your excitement, enthusiasm to share on a Sunday morning what God's doing, how he's working in your life. And again, as we shared at the front of the podcast, of you coming on the podcast and just sharing what God has been showing you and teaching you, Christian. And I feel like you are a generational leader who is leading through example that way. So can definitely see that. Now, earlier you had talked about getting a prophecy from, or getting a word from, one of the speakers about you being a light and lighting the pathway. What does that mean to you, or how do you see yourself as a light?
I thought it was kind of cool how it lined up with the whole city on a hill with a new facility.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How, I guess, like, being unintentionally being put in, like, situations where it's more secular situations.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it would be so easy to keep your faith to yourself, to keep your light to yourself, but time after time, you keep sharing story after story about whether it's a friend who strayed off the path. And, you know, when I think of, you know, the prophecy I that you were given, I think of like an airport runway, you know, that helps keep the planes on the right path away from danger to safety. And just the friends that you reach out to, that you listen to, who are headed, who don't have that light, and so they don't know the pathway. And I just see you as, gosh, you're like that airport runway that helps direct the planes, you know, to safety and away from danger. Mm-hmm. And so I do see you that way. I just wanted to quote another scripture, Psalm 119:105, that famous scripture that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I just thought that was so appropriate to this prophetic word that you had got.
Yeah, I think especially one story that comes to mind being, one of my friends, he has struggled with a family life and like his family, and I could just, same thing I felt, like I could feel the hunger for something greater. And I know he's been searching for a long time since high school. I've known him since high school. And
Was this the guy that reached out to you at like 2 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, similar.
Okay. This is a different friend now.
This is a different friend, yeah.
Oh, okay. You just have so many, the Lord puts you in the pathway of so many different people. So.
Everyone's my friend.
Yeah.
He's just someone that's been put on my heart since high school, and I've just been, the Lord has just been helping me just work with him. In the same way, just showing him the love of the Father. That's one of my favorite ways to evangelize.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where he was struggling with his relationship and his relationship with his family, that it became to the point where he saw the way that I was living and the way that I was going about my life, going about situations, going about my relationships, to where he started to question, like, what is this about God? I felt like I wasn't supposed to ask him if he wants to come to church. I felt like that was something that he has to come to on his own. And it was a later Saturday night, and like I've just been praying for him for, like, since high school. Like, this is maybe like 3 years down the line, and
wow.
And he just texted me. He was like, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" And he goes, and I'm like, "Church."
So this is on Saturday when he asked you that.
This is a Saturday night. Yeah. He was like, "Hey, are you awake? And could I come to church with you tomorrow?" And when I got that text, I was jumping. Literally jumping, like physically jumping.
Yeah.
Because it's been 3 years in the making. Like the Lord has just been chipping away at this man. And finally he asked me if he wants to go, if he can come to church with me. And nope. No better place but Catalyst. How welcoming everybody is, and what he told me, he just said that he just loved it. He absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
unfortunately, his work scheduled him every Sunday.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he's trying to get that fixed. But
yeah,
I'm just yeah, we've just been having such great conversations about trying to find the Lord and yeah, just like different walks and different levels to our faith at the moment. And
yeah, yeah,
and just being able to like talk, go back and forth, just about God.
Yeah, and I just love how you're so seeking as far as where the person is with their faith. So it wasn't like you gave the fire and brimstone, you know, and you said, okay, are you going to be a Christian today? You know, you were seeking God and you sense from God, you know, hey, just invite them to church. And like you had said so many times, planting the seed. And you know, you might not be the one that eventually brings him to the Lord, but just bringing him to Catalyst was, you know, God will find a way, right, to mm-hmm. work in his heart. And when the time is right, then I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure he'll come to know the Lord in his time.
Yeah, most definitely. I see his hunger. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, gosh, that's so awesome. I'm so encouraged. And it's a good segue because so in May of this past year, Testimony Sunday, I was so excited to see you go up there. And, you know, just the fact that you were the last one to go up there and you know, you wanted to get up there before the service ended. And I thought that, you know, your persistence in going up there was awesome. And you shared about another close friend of yours from high school and how you got a call at, I think it was some ungodly, or, you know, I think the call was earlier, but then by the time the phone call ended, it was an ungodly time of the mm-hmm. of the morning, and yeah. So I wondered if you can share about that again.
Yeah, I got home from I don't remember what, but yeah, he came to me about his relationship, and yeah. It was he had asked me something about her and like his girlfriend and then it just spiraled from there. I think he was really struggling with keeping himself together. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I was trying my hardest to not be hurt by some of the things that he was saying to me. Like,
yeah,
like,
you said he was really upset.
He was like I've never seen anybody more upset. in my 20 years of living.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he just would keep going about her, and then every now and then out of nowhere it'd be like he'd say something about, oh, I didn't like how you did this to me.
Okay.
And yeah,
okay.
And I just and then when he would start doing that more and more, I was just like, okay, Lord, like where is this going?
Right, right.
So then he said, just listen to him. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be hard, but
yeah.
I was just like, yeah, I just had to listen to him, and mm-hmm. I listened to him up until like 1 a.m. and yeah. just kept going on, just angry, angry, mm-hmm. angry, mm-hmm. angry, and I didn't see an end. So then I prayed, like, Lord, when's this, like, what am I listening for? And then when I prayed that, he said, oh, I forget what he said. It was, I think it was like along the lines of, oh no, I'm struggling to forget.
Yeah, this is the friend that he had lost his earthly father, right?
Yes.
And he was actually I sense that part of it was he was upset because he felt like you had it so nice with your, you know, having a great earthly father and mother and mm-hmm. a great family.
Yeah, he said, yeah he lost his father and he said, you wouldn't know what it's like. You have a dad, you have a perfect family, and you don't know what I'm going through. And then that's when I said, that's when I broke my silence in listening. And
yeah,
he said,
yeah.
And I said, you're right. Like, I don't know what you went through. I went through a different struggle. So then I kind of like had to like put him in his place. I was like, you can't just say that. You can't just say it.
Right.
You don't know what it's like.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, well, you don't know what I've been through.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone has different struggles.
Yeah, exactly.
All struggle.
And that's when the Lord spoke through me again and saying, look, I see you as my brother. I see you as my, like, a blood brother. Like, you are someone, like, you mean so much to me to where I won't let you stay angry. I want you to feel better. I want you to be a good, like, a better man. And part of that means hearing the truth. This is what you need to do. And to be honest, I don't see this in you right now.
Wow.
This is a lot more into detail than mm-hmm, what mm-hmm. I shared that Sunday. Yeah. But
how did he receive that when you said that?
Naturally, as a like a non-believer, and he kind of got mad. I mean, naturally got more mad, and then I kept breaking at it, just chipping away, just being mm-hmm. persistent. And this is already like 2:30 a.m. Got church in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Which you made, by the way.
Yeah, which I made. I don't know how.
Yeah,
by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then. To the point where he got to say, we got into prayer and he apologized, and it was something that he was struggling with that he didn't know how to handle, and he really just was thankful for me. Just mm-hmm. he said, thank you for listening to me, because I don't have anyone to talk to about this.
Wow. And for someone who's not a Christian, he was very open to you praying for him, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like I said, like I can feel how desperate he was for the Lord. Yeah. I could just feel that need for an actual father.
Yeah.
And that was part of my prayer. Like,
And I think this is a story that's still to be written too, because I think at some point he asked you if he could go to church with you, right?
Yeah, he did as well. We're just trying to find that time.
yeah, that's so awesome. So to be determined. And you know, you and I had talked about this Christian. I had a best friend in high school, and we spent late nights talking about the Bible, and I remember staying up late trying to answer a lot of the myriad of questions that he had. Mm-hmm. And then several years later, we had already graduated college and, you know, we were in our careers. And I get a call, and it's his voice. Mm-hmm. And he's on the other end, and he says to me, John, I became a Christian. I'm getting baptized later this month. I'd love if you can attend. Oh, wow. And I nearly passed out. I couldn't
That's
believe
incredible.
It.
Yeah, you know how you feel.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think of, when I think of my friend, I think of your story, because he said to me, trying not to get choked up when I say this, but he said, the reason why I'm here today is because back when we were in high school, you never pushed me away. Hmm. You never judged me, but you remained a great friend to me, and you still wanted to hang out with me. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. I mean, that you know, things like that, right? Yeah. They just stick with you. And so I just think of, you know, what you had meant to your friend, just God telling you to listen to him, and despite the anger, not taking it personally, and, you know, realizing that where he was, but being a listener to him. And I just think that's so incredible. And if he hasn't thanked you yet, I'm sure one day I can just see you getting that call, hey, Christian, can I go to church? Or maybe I became a Christian. Yeah. I can just see that happening. Yeah.
That's something I pray for. I really do. Like, even
like
part of that being the leader but not knowing what fruit comes from it, I guess, is hard, but I'm content with it now.
yeah, that's so awesome. I just can't wait to have you back with all these the people that God has placed in your life. And I know there's more chapters to be written, but mm-hmm. can't wait to get updates on some of them. Okay, so I want to go back now, have a little fun, to that one service. I mean, that to me, it's just so amazing, all these things that are going, that are happening at this service. So one of the people that prayed over you or that spoke into you was either an 8 or 9 year old boy, and he singles you out. And I wondered if you can talk about that, because now we can kind of talk about, you know, some fun stuff.
Yeah, there was a there's like four of them. They did like a kind of a practice. They were doing like a practice on us. saying like
lab time.
Doing it like doing a lab time on us. Essentially, what it was. And one of his sons was there, and he was 8 or 9, and they were singling people out, like you in the blue hat, stand up, or we see you as this, right? And then I was like, I was enjoying every minute of it, like even though, you know, I wasn't a part of it at that moment. And and then they were like, you in the white hat. And there was like three people next to me with white hats.
Oh, is that right?
And then, and then we all kind of pointed at ourselves at the same time. But then they kind of did more descriptive, and it turned out to be me. And I was like, oh, okay, like, let me hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does he call you up to the front, or did he go to you? Or
They just kind of stood there, and then we all figured out who they were talking to, and they would just say it. They didn't have to, we didn't have to stand up or anything.
Okay, got you.
So he's this 8-year-old kid. He says, before that, one of them says, like, we see you as a leader with a lantern. But then another one chipped in and said, the 8-year-old chipped in and said, I see you sitting around a campfire playing a guitar.
Wow.
And I didn't know how to play guitar. I didn't. For years I've been trying. My whole life I've been trying to learn, but I couldn't figure it out.
You know, so maybe we can back up, because you shared with me that your grandfather played the guitar, and then you reflected back on something that happened to you when you were, I mean, you had a fascination with the guitar ever since you were like 6 years old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since 6 years old, I didn't have a guitar around me, and my parents never like invested in musical instruments for us. We were definitely more of like a athletics, baseball kind of family, right? But I had voiced it to them too. I don't know why they didn't do it.
Yeah. We'll have to have both of them on
I'm gonna ask them for sure.
Tell their side of the story.
I can't poke at them when they're not here.
Yeah.
My grandpa, he played guitar.
Yeah.
So whenever we would go up to their house, it wouldn't be too often, but whenever we would go up to their house, he had a guitar there. And every single time I would always like try and play it, but I couldn't figure it out. So then just my whole life I've been trying to learn.
Yeah. So you get this prophecy about you sitting around a campfire playing the guitar. Please stop me if I'm moving ahead too far, but from that day on, you became interested. You kind of rekindled that interest in the guitar, right?
I guess. Okay. Yeah. I did stop trying for a couple of years, because I was like, I give up. And then all of a sudden it came back. This is before it came back, and my grandpa gave the guitar to us, because I think my little brother at his school, they had to do like a guitar class, so then he needed a guitar. My grandpa kind of gave it to him.
So this is before you got the prophecy. You had been given the guitar. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then my brother would take it to school, and he'd bring it back, and I'd be like, "Okay, let me try." All eager, couldn't figure it out. Every time, I just play it, it would go bum 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 bum.
Right.
Just horrible sound. You couldn't even tell the guitar.
But that changed after you got this prophetic word from this 8 or 9 year old boy.
Yeah, I gave up like the week before again. I gave up trying to learn that week before, and then that Sunday comes and I get that word, and then like the next day I try to pick it up, and I'm like, okay, let's try this again. I watched another video on it, the same exact video I've been trying to watch. I play the chord and it sounds beautiful. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. And you know, as a guitar player, that is so unusual, because I mean, I remember how hard it, if you haven't played in a while, how hard it is. You got to develop the calluses on the fingers and the strength on the fingers to hold down the notes so that it doesn't, it sounds beautiful.
It was obviously just a beginner chord, trying to play. And, so it, it was a little easier to sound beautiful, and then I tried to do other chords, and it didn't sound as good, but it came easier to me. So I still worked at it, trying to get better at it. I asked Brittany Harada for help, because I know she plays guitar. Jacob Bello as well. So then I go to the small group, and I'd be like, hey, Brittany, can I borrow your guitar? Can you show me some chords, please?
Then
after the small group, she'd help me out. And then I kind of just kept going on my own. And maybe like three days after that prophecy, I was like, oh, I have a job. I have money. Uh-huh. Got my own car. Why can't I just buy my own guitar? So then I bought my own like newish guitar.
Yeah. That's funny. Where I thought you were going with this is I thought you were going to say I was going to talk to mom and dad to buy me a guitar.
Oh, no. I gave up on that. Sorry, mom. Sorry, dad.
That's funny. Didn't have the faith to pursue that one, right? But that's good. So you get the guitar, and so where are you now in terms of your guitar playing?
Well, okay, let me just say, like, the next week I was playing, like, I could play chords and everything, and I play songs. Next week is actually kind of crazy, but sure enough, when I was playing my first kind of songs, it was around a campfire with some of my friends.
That's amazing.
Like, immediately, like, worship songs, it was great.
Yeah.
And then since then, it's been maybe, like, 6-7 campfire. I don't even mean to do it. Like, sometimes I just have the guitar with me, and then there's a fire going on, and sure enough, I start playing.
Wow. the prophecy is fulfilled. And you know, getting back to the prophecy, I kind of have a two-part question, because I'm thinking, what was your immediate thought about getting a prophetic word from a 9-year-old or 8- or 9-year-old child? And then as you reflect back on that, how has that maybe even changed now that you look back on that?
For the first question, I think,
like
when he said that off the bat, I didn't discredit it. And I thank Jerry for that during Magnetic, because he kind of instilled a lot of, like, not to discredit anything from anybody, like any prophecy, because, you know, like, the Lord speaks through everybody. Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, when he told me that, I wasn't worried about his age. I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about, where am I going to get my next guitar? No, it was incredible in the moment where, like, I felt my faith grow when he told me that. And, you know, despite me, like, not discrediting it, I gave it more credit too, because it was just incredible seeing an 8-year-old, like, his faith, like, the level of his faith at his age was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess thinking back on it now, my view of it hasn't changed. I think his dad did a great job in showing his identity and what he is, and being able to hear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's something that I want to mirror when I have kids.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That is so cool. I think of, you know, Brandon Saito and Stephanie Hino have been on the podcast, and when you shared that, I thought of, they've said many times, there's no junior Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, you know, if he wants to move through someone, whether it's a child or whether it's an adult, the Holy Spirit, God is still the same, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's so easy to look through human eyes, but, you know, gosh, when we look through God's eyes, we kind of, like what you were saying, that childlike faith. Sometimes children, they even have more faith because they haven't been, you know, they don't see through the eyes of man. They see through God's eyes.
Yeah, perfect. So the way God designed children too, like, their brains are just perfect for molding. That's what schools are for. That's what. So it's just meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wow. So encouraged. And so I really can't wait to how the Lord's going to continue to use you in worship. Because, man, you have leadership, worship, and we need all of those things. Okay. One time, and you know, speaking of worship, I wondered if you can share about that one time where, I don't know if it was a worship service or whatever, but they didn't have a drummer, they didn't have anyone to kind of keep the beat, and you felt led to go up and play the djembe. And so I wondered if you can talk about that, because that was kind of a barrier was broken after that event, huh, in your life.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that Sunday, it was a Sunday service, and I just felt so much. I was going through a lot of stress that entire week, where I was like kind of like I was blocking out the Lord speaking to me, but then at the same time I was like, Lord, where are you? That Sunday it was I was just in just such I don't know how to explain it other than just such deep prayer, I want more of you, Lord, and
yeah,
where can I start, I guess, was essentially what I was praying about. And mm-hmm. They didn't have a drummer, but they had Bob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had Bob. He was on the
okay, so he was hitting the other drum.
Mm-hmm, the other okay. drummer is like standing up with the stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's cool. But yeah, but then I was praying and then the Lord said, "Get up." And I was like, "Okay." And I knew when he said get up, I knew exactly where he wanted me to go. And I had no prior experience, I guess, like kind of playing it. But I went up to the, what is it called?
The djembe.
Djembe? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I guess like I kind of did have experience. But that was kind of besides the point. The point that the Lord wanted to make was like every hit on the drum, that's just a wall that you've put up between me and your heart.
Wow.
And that's just breaking it every single time I would hit the drum.
Wow.
And it's just walls that I didn't know that I put up. I broke down crying and everything like that while I was playing, but,
yeah. I mean, it's almost like, gosh, like there's spiritual warfare going on and the drums, because I've seen this happen before. We had a guy by the name of Hector Santin who played drums at Catalyst for the longest time, and him and his wife Doreen are going to another church now. But there would be times where he would play the drums, and you felt like strongholds were being broken when he played the drums. And so when you share that, I'm like I can instantly almost connect to what you're saying, because you're almost saying the same things, that every time you beat on the drum, it's like a wall or a brick in the wall is being torn down almost. Yeah. Is that kind of what you felt?
Yeah, exactly how I felt. And it's something I never experienced or done before, felt that way before. And I think one of the biggest things in my faith is just get up and go. Like when the Lord says to do something, just get up and go. Just act on it, because I know that I think it was Damon that he said, like, I think it was Damon. I'm not entirely sure who it was, but they said, you have like 2 seconds to decide if you want to do something or not. And if you don't do it within that time, you're not going to do it. So then, that kind of stayed within me.
Yeah.
And you know, that hitting that drum and just playing with worship, it really impacted me in a way that the Lord has never done it before, which is something cool that I think that the Lord does. He's the Lord of what he can speak to you any way he likes.
Absolutely.
That's something that I learned to look out for.
Yeah. And so you had mentioned the tears that they just were released as you're playing the djembe, you're beating down on the djembe. What was going on? What were some of the things you were sensing, you were feeling, you were experiencing in the moment?
One of them was like, I hope I sound okay. But it was one of the biggest ones. But I think Bob did a great job, because he was doing it. I would kind of follow him, and I kind of figured out his pattern.
Okay.
But, but yeah, I just spiritually, I guess like I just couldn't hold myself together. I feel like felt like running, like I was running to the Father again. And,
oh, okay.
In just ways that I had never done before. It's just,
Yeah, it's almost like I'm envisioning, you know, you said you felt like there was a wall there, but with each beat of the drum, you know, the walls coming down, and I'm just seeing this embrace, this closeness with you and the Father that maybe wasn't there before.
I think one of the biggest factors of that was we were going over the surrendering series.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so then Pastor Barry just talked about, like, Here, Lord, here's my heart. You can have this part, but I'm going to keep this part away from you,
okay.
Which is one of the biggest things that I was like, Lord, how can I do that? Like, how can I give you everything? So these are the walls you put up in your heart. Here's everything.
Yeah.
You're giving me everything now. Lord, you have my heart now.
Wow. Wow.
Like, truly.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so Christian, as we start to wind down our time together, it's awesome to see your heart for evangelism. I mean, to me, it's incredibly evident, as I'm sure to a lot of other people as well. For those listening who have loved ones or friends, maybe coworkers that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to ask you if you can give a word of encouragement or maybe some things that they should keep in mind as they try and evangelize and share Christ, share the love of God with their family or their friends. What are some things you would encourage them with?
Like in the beginning, like actions speak louder than words. One of like the best ways you can do it is at work. You can do it everywhere, honestly, but one of the ways that, you know, comes to mind is at work. And at work, we're doing a big job site. There's a whole bunch of different people there, a whole bunch of different, you know, different trades.
Yeah.
There's language barriers too at times, but, but yeah, me and my coworker, we work together. We do a lot of our stuff together.
Yeah.
And one of the ways we do it is just like having great conversation with a lot of the guys and, to the point where it's like subtly asking them like about just about their faith. Mm-hmm. And for example, like we'd be listening to worship music and then, one guy come up, ask us something and then we just start talking. And then, like for example, what happened recently, we were talking about music, where I was like, oh yeah, I just started playing guitar. Like I want to start learning the drums. And then he was like, oh, I used to play the drums for church all the time. And I was like, used to, what happened? Like, you don't play the drums for church anymore? Just having a friendly conversation, like the way that Jesus would have a conversation. Like, So then we talked about it more. It's like, oh, you don't go to church anymore? Like, oh, what happened? So then he was like, I don't know. Like, if you just kind of stop going and now I have my own family, like we kind of just don't do anymore. But my wife was an atheist for the longest. But then out of nowhere, she asked, like, how come we haven't gone to church? Like, how come you haven't asked? And we were like, That's a sign, dude. I think.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think that's something that, just having conversations such as that.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask them if you're going like to come to church with you. It's just having a conversation, loving them the way Jesus did, and showing them a work ethic that, that only the Lord could give.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's important too. You know, you have talked a lot about, you know, your actions and. It would paint such a different story if, you know, maybe you're not honest or you're cutting corners and you're trying to show the love of God. I mean, that would seem almost counterintuitive.
Yeah.
For you personally, you match your actions, match your faith and line up to your faith.
Yeah. And like these conversations, this loving, it doesn't have to be, you know, specifically towards a certain people. Like you can even do it towards like believers that you know as well. Like it's like you're showing the love for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just for the people that don't believe. You want to show it towards everybody. And
right.
And you know, I hope Catalyst you guys are. One of my coworkers lost his job. He was doing insurance, but he became kind of an electrician as kind of a temporary job, and and he's got like 4 or 5 kids and a whole family, big house and everything, but he lost his job. And was working there trying to make ends meet. And we're just preaching with each other, you know, going, whatever we were going through, he's been through already because he's an older guy, but we have just the relation of just being both believers, being in the same body of Christ. And, that's what we felt community is for. That's what we felt all believers are for. And it's sport where he said to me recently, he said, he said, you know, Christian, I want my son to turn out exactly the way you did.
Wow.
And that means so much to me. You know, him being
that's
the father.
That's huge. Yeah. That's a huge compliment.
It just meant.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, I'm tearing up.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And I think, gosh, you know, if we can't show the love of God with each other, how are people that, you know, that are outside of the church, how are they going to see, you know, if they see that people within the church don't have that love for each other, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow. That's a huge compliment. And I think back to what you said, Christian, about throwing seeds, whether that's listening, or you've also mentioned curiosity in the past. And I think that's so awesome too, that you have a natural curiosity and it goes beyond, you know, the salutary, how are you doing? But, you know, for you, I feel like you're genuinely interested in other people and what they're going through. And I know that God has used that and will continue to use that in your life. So, yeah, amen, amen. Well, Christian, first of all, I want to thank you for being here today and sharing a part of your faith and your testimonies with me.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I love sharing it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies, Christian, and pray for our listeners as well. Okay. So, yeah, let's pray. Thank you, God, for Christian's desire to seek you with all his heart and how he desires to be a true man of God. And may you continue to show him what it means, but also that he can continue to be who he already is. And part of that is his calling as a generational leader, as someone who leads by example, as a man of God who seeks after your heart and his desires for his actions to speak louder than words. May you continue to bless him. And thank you, God, for Christian's heart just to listen and to allow others who don't know you the opportunity to be heard and understood and to be given a voice to express themselves without judgment. Thank you, Jesus, for Christian's heart for evangelism. And as you spoke to Christian, he is a leader who plants seeds in the lost children that make it back to you. And again, we mentioned Matthew 18, that the Heavenly Father would leave the 99 sheep to go to the mountains to seek the one that's straying. Help us all to be relentless for those that don't know you, our family members, friends, co-workers. Help us to be aware of and quick to seize the opportunities, as Christian said, the opportunities you give us in the moment, Lord, that they people would come to know you and acknowledge you in all things. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to Christian through the vision of a young child who saw Christian playing the guitar and worshiping you. May you continue to lead and bless Christian as he pursues this vision and others that you've laid upon his heart. Thank you, God, that it doesn't matter what age we are or physical statures or who we know or Lord, that as you've said in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so with that, I pray for those listening that have ever thought I'm not good enough or strong enough or too old or too young. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help all of them to replace the lie with the truth, that we are more than enough if we seek to have your heart after to have a heart that is after your own heart, just like our brother Christian. And so we thank you for all these things, Lord. Now, Jesus, may you continue to use these revelations and testimonies in Christian's life to inspire all of us to become all that you've created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Christian, and that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.